And welcome, guys, to the Vincent Moreland Show, Moreland More Sports. Oh, Slickety Vincent. Vincent Moreland is here at your service. I am doing this podcast a little bit early than I normally do, as well as doing it alone, because Carwin works overnight and his schedule is annoying. And I just don't really have much time after, you know, Friday or after Thursday to really do it. And so I'm just going to do a solo episode this week. I need to kind of get back in the old habit of having things scheduled and asking people to be prepared to join and whatnot. But, you know, I don't have a whole lot of other stuff going on, but I go to the gym more than I used to. And, you know, I'm in a bowling league as well. So, like, you know, and, you know, sometimes I'll go out on the weekends. So, and I might work the extra job. So I just, you know, everything that I do is like starting to become impromptu a little bit. But you know, we'll see if I can try to get different guests on here. Normally I just like to ask Carwin because it's, you know, it's easier and, you know, I'm usually used to like what his schedule is and whatnot. And, you know, I don't have to really worry about him not being able to join the show. I've had people say they'll be able to join and then they can't, like, last minute, which is okay, but it's like, it's just easier once you're used to kind of planning around someone that you're always, you know, doing stuff with. But anyway, we'll get started here. I'm going to talk about the trades that have happened the past couple of weeks. More so the trades that have happened this week, not last week, as, you know, I've talked about the previous trades from the past couple weeks, like Christian McCaffrey and Robbie Anderson. I didn't really touch Deion Jones, but you know, he was traded. Just some other, like, big trades that have happened throughout the week and whatnot. So I think what I'll start with immediately is the acquisition of Roquan Smith, acquired by my Baltimore Ravens. I couldn't be any happier right now. Yes, we need a wide receiver, but, you know, having a guy of Roquan Smith's, like, magnitude is great for the Ravens. It helps our defense. And what makes this move even better is the fact that we're going to get Tyus Bowser back this week, and we're expected to get David Ojabo back by the end of this month or the beginning of next month. So really, really crazy right now. Roquan Smith, he has 16 and a half sacks in his 5-year career right now. Over 800 tackles. He's the leading tackler right now in the NFL. He has 2.5 sacks on the season. He also has 2 interceptions this year as well, and 7 in his career. So that's really great. He's a great tackler. You know, the Ravens, their issue is tackling. You know, when it comes from linebackers covering running backs or corners covering, you know, wide receivers, we just can't seem to tackle. And that's been kind of a thing that's been happening with for years now at this Ravens defense. Sometimes I feel like we get worried too much about, you know, stripping the ball and knocking the ball down, which is important. But, you know, if you're letting guys, you know, like A.J. Brown and, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, C.J. Uzomah from last year, you know, when you're letting guys like that just continuously break tackles and end up getting touchdowns, you're not going to win. So it's like tackles that should be made. And it's like, it's so bad where, like, you have one guy that's wrapping up another guy, and the other guy slows down because he's thinking that his teammate's going to get the tackle instead of helping him get the tackle. And then next thing you know, they're all the way down the end zone. So Roquan Smith, great guy to pick up. Unfortunately, this is the last year of his rookie deal. He was drafted in 2018. Doesn't seem like it. I feel like he's been in the league longer than that. But, you know, 26 years old, I believe. Or is he 25? He's 25. He turns 26 next year. Really incredible ball player, for sure. He's finally going to be able to. Not that he hasn't been on a good team before, because he's been on a Bears defense that's been, like, really good. Like, really, really good. But now, like, he'll be able to, you know, play on a defense that's slowly but surely improving. I think after, you know, winning 2 games in a row and having double-digit leads 2 games in a row and not blowing them, I think it's safe to say that our defense is starting to get better. And if our offense, you know, kind of plays the way that we did at the beginning of the season, and our defense plays the way it's been the last couple weeks, you know, we shouldn't have problem. We shouldn't have a problem closing games and whatnot. And we should be able to start and finish games like we did in 2019. I'm not saying we're going to win 14 games in a row, but I think if we have a big lead, we'll be able to, you know, maintain it, or at least, like, you know, not blow it and eventually lose the game because of that. You know, his teammate Robert Quinn got traded to the Eagles, I think a few days prior. So another good guy on the defensive side of the ball who's been a notable guy. I won't really get into him too much, but, you know, he joins a good Eagles team that has made all types of moves, you know, in the offseason, you know, with A.J. Brown and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. They drafted really well, too. You know, they got that defensive tackle. I believe his name is, I know this kind of makes me look like a casual, but if I'm not mistaken, it's Jordan Davis. Really good defensive tackle. Young man out of Georgia. I know there were talks about the Ravens potentially, drafting him and whatnot. It looks like he's going on. Oh, he's actually going on injured reserve right now. So, yeah, he'll be missing at least 4 weeks. Robert Quinn, you know, now that, you know, Jordan Davis is out, you know, that kind of helps out the Eagles a little bit, adding a little bit more. The pass rush and whatnot. Yeah, Robert Quinn, he's been around since 2011. My goodness, I didn't know he was around the league that long. 32-year-old veteran. Another guy that I'd like to talk about is Calvin Ridley. And this is so crazy. Like, I wouldn't have put a bet on Calvin Ridley to get traded. Okay, that was bad. But anyway, Calvin Ridley got traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is a really good move for the Jaguars, considering what they gave up to get him. I believe it was like a fourth round pick or a fifth round pick. Definitely wasn't like a top three pick. Now you have Trevor Lawrence, you have Travis Etienne, you have Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, Calvin Ridley to kind of build around, and then you have either Zay or Marvin Jones as your third receiver. You know, unless you go out and get another receiver, if you draft one, you're probably not going to be in a good spot next year, as far as like playoffs goes and whatnot. So you might have another high draft pick. You know, you can be really smart about this. You're not going to need a quarterback, you're not going to need a running back. You're going to have two decent receivers in Kirk and Ridley. Do you add to that? You know, and if you keep Ingram, do you add to that? You know, do you add a third receiver to mix? So you have a three wide receiver set. Do you go O-line? Do you go on the defensive side of the ball to help Josh Allen and the crew? I'm talking about the defensive Josh Allen. So really, really interesting to see how the Jaguars pan out. Obviously, this is a move to help the team improve next year. I'm really interested in seeing what they'll do, if they're kind of going to build up an offensive core with good skill position players, or if they're going to try to add to the O-line, D-line. We don't know what they're going to do or what they want to do until we know, where they'll be picking at. And, you know, we still have to see what happens with, the college season and whatnot. Then we'll start looking at mock drafts and whatnot and evaluate everybody sees him when all is said and done. Another move I like what the Dolphins did yesterday, acquiring Bradley Chubb. I believe they gave up a first round pick for that. And they also gave up Chase Edmonds as well. So Chase Edmonds is a guy that didn't really fit Miami. We weren't sure if he was going to be the starter. It looked like he was going to be the starter early on, but then Raheem Mostert kind of took over that role. I don't blame the Dolphins for doing that, as I think Raheem Mostert's a better running back than Chase Edmonds. I guess we thought the competition was going to be close, but it wasn't really all that close. And Edmonds is a great pass-catching guy, but I guess he was kind of insurance in case Mostert were to get hurt, because Mostert's been a guy that hasn't been able to stay healthy all that much in recent memory. I'm really surprised he's made it to week 9 without sustaining a major injury. But knock on wood, I hope that continues because I love Mostert. He's my favorite running back in the league. Don't ask me why, he just is. So Chase Edmonds going to Denver, that's great. Melvin Gordon, he's not happy there. Latavius Murray's coming out the practice squad. And then you have Mike Boone, who's hurt. Javonte Williams is hurt. So Chase Edmonds is there now. I can't remember like what his contract's looking like. I don't know if he'll be, set to play in Denver next year or not. But it'll be, very interesting to see what happens. So that'll be fun. Bradley Chubb, though, good pass rusher, great linebacker. He was really good on Denver. I'm really surprised that Denver gave him up. I was not expecting that. So very, very interesting move for a guy that was drafted in the first round. A guy who was supposed to be like a big part of that defense. Chubb, who has 5.5 sacks this year and 37 tackles as well. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. How the Dolphins do. And they also got Jeff Wilson Jr. So now, you're Mike McDaniel. You have, your tandem in Mostert and Jeff Wilson back on the same team that you had with the 49ers organization, because that's where he came from. So now, you have Tua. You have Tyreek Hill. You have Gesicki. You have Jalen Waddle. You have Trent Sherfield, who's also from San Francisco, who's kind of getting more of a nod than Cedric Wilson Jr. You got Chase Ed, you have Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson Jr. And then you also have Myles Gaskin hasn't really done anything this year, but basically you got a good core on offense and you add to the defense that's already been okay, not the best, but when Tua's playing and whatnot, you put the Dolphins defense in a better position to win and whatnot. But awesome. And James Robinson to the Jets. I called that last week. But he hasn't really made an impact yet. I guess the rest of the moves aren't really all that notable. I like TJ Hawkinson to the Vikings. I think he's better than Irv Smith. That just gives Kirk Cousins another guy to throw to. I would say Hawkinson becomes the third option now. As far as a pass catching situation goes, behind Jefferson, Thielen, and behind those two, you put Hawkinson in the mix. KJ Osborne probably won't be seeing the field as much with that acquisition of Hawkinson now. We'll see what happens. Chase Claypool to the Bears, very interesting move. It's like, are the Bears trying to sell or are they trying to buy? But I don't like that they gave up a second round pick for Chase Claypool. I don't think he's worth that. He hasn't really done anything this year or prior years to prove that he's a second round pick. But I guess the Bears see something in Chase Claypool that other teams don't, as far as like valuing him at that high of a pick. We'll see what happens. That just gives Justin Fields a legit weapon to throw to outside of Darnell Mooney. Equanimeous St. Brown, N'Keal Harry, not a big fan. And then you got, this is the last year I'll talk about, Nyheim Hines joining the Buffalo Bills via trade. That's very exciting to see what happens there as the Colts. Now you have Jonathan Taylor, but you also have Deion Jackson now. I think Deion Jackson kind of showed that he could have a Nyheim Hines type of role when he had 10 catches for 79 yards a couple weeks ago when Taylor was absent. And he's proven he can be a decent runner as well. So I guess they figured, why not get something out of Nyheim Hines if they have someone behind him that has a similar skill set. And a team that's like been looking for a running back for, a little bit now. I think this does impact Devin Singletary having, a lot of playing time and whatnot. We'll see what happens. That Bills backfield, it's still crowded with Singletary, James Cook, who's Dalvin Cook's brother, and Nyheim Hines now. But Hines will see the field more than James Cook for sure. But for Devin Singletary, that has yet to be seen. We'll see what happens with that. No, guys, in the next segment, I will make my predictions for this week's games. All right, guys, welcome back to the Vincent Moreland Show, Moreland More Sports. Old Slick is here. I'm just going to make my predictions for week 10 of the NFL. Also, I will make my, World Series prediction. I got the Astros winning it, even though they're down 2-1. But the crazy thing is, that was like my pick beforehand. But now, like, seeing Philly up 2-1 is kind of scary. And then Astros blowing it in game one, not good, because now you're down 2-1 instead of being up 2-1 in a game that the Phillies will probably win tonight as well. But speaking of Philadelphia here, I know I call this a sports podcast, but I know I mainly talk about football on here. They finally charged the person that Brian Robinson shooting, the 17-year-old. It's a damn shame. Anyway, and then also, Dan Snyder's trying to sell the team. The Commanders, oh my, they're in trouble. Anyway, Philadelphia's playing Houston. This game will be in Houston at the same time as the Phillies play the Astros in the World Series, which is very fun. So you got a football game between the two teams in those cities happening in one city and a baseball game happening in the other. Eagles are 7-0. They are 14-point favorites. Money line is minus 800, meaning you have to put up $800 to win $100 just for the Eagles to win straight up. Brandon Cooks is questionable. Nico Collins is out. Desmond King is out, all for the Houston Texans. Three of their better players on this team. There's no reason why they should lose this game. Talking about the Eagles, they're fully healthy for the most part. They have Jalen Hurts, who's putting up MVP season with 1,800 passing yards, 10 passing touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Really, really proud of like what he's been able to accomplish and whatnot. AJ Brown's doing great with 39 catches, 659 yards, 5 touchdowns on the year. Miles Sanders having a good year with 563 yards and 5 rushing touchdowns. But give me the Eagles on this one. I don't have much faith in the Texans. I don't think we should get really too cute here, but I mean, the weirdest things happen on Thursday night, so I think this is just gonna be fun. But give me the Eagles on this one. I'll go 30-10. The Los Angeles Chargers play the Atlanta Falcons. Chargers are 3-point favorites. But I think the Falcons are gonna win this game. I just don't like how the Chargers have been as far as traveling to the East Coast and stuff. It's like when they go there, they just forget how to play. AJ Terrell is questionable for the Falcons. Newly acquired Rashad Fenton is questionable as well. Cordarrelle Patterson is on IR, but I think he might come back this week. I'm not too sure. Keenan Allen is questionable. He's been questionable all year long. He hasn't really done anything. Justin Herbert is having a good year. Marcus Mariota is having a somewhat decent year. Austin Eckler is doing great as well. I just think the Falcons will somehow, some way, find a way. Normally, I'd pick the Chargers, but I just can't seem to trust them. They're just a little too inconsistent for me. And the Falcons are too, but I just trust the Falcons more at home this weekend. Miami's playing Chicago. They're 5-point favorites. I think Miami can cover that. Like I said, I'm taking a break from betting, so I'm going to try to, not bet and whatnot. But I think that's a very winnable game for Miami. I think it's kind of a disappointment and a setback if they lose to the Bears, especially, they traded away their best player on the team. And Roquan Smith, arguably their best player on the team.
I don't even know if that's arguable, honestly, because he's probably one of the best at this position. Should be a not so difficult day, but I could see Miami trailing early like they did against Detroit last week. But I'll give the edge to the Dolphins here. I'll go 27-17 here. Next up, we have Carolina and Cincinnati. Cincinnati, a really big letdown game after losing on the road to their cross-state rivals, the Cleveland Browns. But they do have an 80% chance to win, according to ESPN. The spread is 7. Over-under is 42.5. I think the Bengals will win. It looks like Chidobe Awuzie is going to be out for a while. And Mike Hilton, Eli Apple are both hurt as well. So, depleted secondary might be good for guys like Terrace Marshall. DJ Moore and whatnot. We'll see what happens there. But give me the Bengals here. I'm happy that PJ Walker's having a somewhat decent year, but I don't think he'll win the game this weekend. I hope they do, but I just don't think it's gonna happen. Give me the Bengals here. I'm gonna go 30-17 here. And then we have Green Bay and Detroit. This is such a weird game because the Packers just forgot how to win. They've lost 4 games in a row. They lost 3 games that they were, the favorites. But now they're the favorites again. They're only a 3.5-point favorites against the Detroit Lions. When's the last time you've seen the Packers be 3.5-point favorites against them? But give me the Packers here. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, I know he's battling an injury right now, but I think he'll be fine. DeAndre Swift, Amara St. Brown looked pretty decent last week. Didn't really do anything. They did something, but not enough to win the game. But hopefully Rodgers can have a better game. I need him in fantasy, man. He hasn't done jack crap. He's been so bad this year. Not bad, he's just kind of, below expectations. But give me the Packers on this one. I think they'll win this game. We'll go 24-20. Yeah, we'll go 24-20. And then the Raiders play the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think this is the toughest game to pick. Raiders are 1.5-point favorites. They got shut out by the Saints last week. So that stinks for them. Thinking that you had some momentum. The Raiders are 0-4 on road games. Jacksonville's 1-3 at home games, so something's gotta give here. Devontae Adams, he's questionable, he's gonna play. Jamal Agnew, he's questionable. Travis Etienne, he has been on fire recently, and he looks so good right now. He has 105 less rushing yards than Josh Jacobs on what looks like 30 less carries. So, he is on a tear right now ever since James Robinson got traded. And even the week before James Robinson got traded, he was doing well. So Travis Etienne is the real deal, and he's here to stay and whatnot. But Jacksonville, they started out, I think it was 2-1, and they've lost 5 in a row. Dropping them down to 2-6. So, I thought they were the real deal at first, but, they just fooled us. That's all. They're not good. But they've lost close games. They lost by 4. They've lost by 6. They lost by 7. They lost by 7. They've lost by 8. So all the games that they've lost have been one possession games. They just can't seem to win, the close games in crunch time. Raiders, they've kind of traded away wins and losses the last 5 weeks. But I think they can still, excuse me, they have a chance, but I'm going to give it to the Jaguars this weekend. I'm going to go 24-23. Indianapolis plays New England. Not a game I'm excited about at all. Any game that has the Patriots in it, I'm not excited for. They're just so boring to watch. Matt Ryan's not going to play. It'll be Sam Ehlinger. Jonathan Taylor is questionable. We'll see what happens with him. Gilmore is questionable. Damian Harris is questionable. Ramondre Stevenson should have a decent game. Taylor should too, if he plays. But give me the Patriots on this one. I'll give them a final score of 23-16. Next we have the Buffalo Bills and New York Jets. 12.5-point favorites. The Jets looked good. But then they played the Patriots this past weekend, and they just look like the same old Jets right now. I don't think I really need to explain much here. I'm going to go with the Bills here, 30-13. And then we have Minnesota and Washington. I think that's the last of the 1 o'clock games. Minnesota's 3.5-point favorite. I think they will win the game, and I think they can cover that spread. It'll be another Kirk Cousins game in Washington, the team that drafted in the same year as they drafted RG3. I think that'll be a good trivia question for people like 20 years from now. Irv Smith, he's on IR, part of the reason why the Vikings went out and got TJ Hockenson to kind of fill in his role. So you got Taylor Heinicke that's going to play this game again against Kirk Cousins. And Commanders can definitely win. I just don't think they will. Give me the Vikings on this one. And then you have Seattle and Arizona. Seattle won this matchup the last time when it was in Seattle. This time it's in Arizona. Arizona's a 2-point favorite, but Seattle can definitely win. But I'm going to give it to Arizona this time. Last time these two teams played, DeAndre Hopkins was not on the field. And he makes all the difference for that Arizona team. They're starting to put up more points, and they're starting to look more comfortable on offense. I think they've averaged like 30-something points a game in their last two games. Yeah, they put up 26 last week, and then they put up 42, so right in the middle there. And in previous weeks, they only scored 9, 17, and 26 the week before. But that just goes to show that how much of a difference DeAndre Hopkins makes. And unfortunately we missed him the first 6 weeks, but we're happy to have him back and be a big producer and whatnot and continue to be that one of the top receivers in the league. There's only one 4 o'clock game. Wow, that's Tampa Bay and Tampa Bay and Los Angeles on CBS. That's actually wild as hell. I thought they would have. So they have, let's see, 8 1 o'clock games. Holy crap. 8 1 o'clock games and 1 4:30 game. 1 4:25. The Rams play the Bucks on CBS. I'm sure Fox would have rather had this game at the beginning of the year, but both of these teams look pretty mediocre right now. I'm sorry, two games. Seattle and Arizona is a 4 o'clock game. Nonetheless, only 2 4 o'clock games this weekend. But yeah, Bucks and Rams, not really that excited for it, as both teams aren't really playing up to par, but one of these teams can get some momentum after this weekend. I think the Bucks will win this game. I think they looked better against the Ravens than they have in previous weeks. I just think that was more so better Ravens. And then Rams, they just can't seem to beat the 49ers for some reason, but We'll see what happens. Both teams are pretty banged up, and we'll see if Cam Akers is playing this weekend. He probably won't, though. Tennessee and Kansas City. This would be a good Monday night game if Malik Willis wasn't the starting quarterback. But it looks like Tannehill is probably not going to play. He's questionable. He didn't play last week. They didn't really need him last week anyway, as Derrick Henry was just able to get 200 yards. I'm on the ground. Kansas City averages 32 points a game, and the Titans average 19. Something's got to give here. Something might not give here. But the Titans are going to have to put up more than just 19 points to win this game against Kansas City, because Kansas City, they're going to keep scoring. As they scored 44, 20, 30, 41 in their last four games. So it's crazy. And the game that they put up 20 was against a team that's expected to win the Super Bowl this year. So, yeah, I think the Chiefs will win this game now. And also Arizona, I think Arizona will win, and I think Tampa Bay will win. But give me the Chiefs on this one. If Malik Willis plays, I'll go 30-16. If he doesn't play, I'll go 30-20. If Ryan Tannehill starts. Now, this is a very interesting game. The Ravens play the Saints. They're only 2.5-point favorites. I think the Saints can win this game, but I'm not going to pick them. But they can definitely win this game. I'm a little nervous about this game. Very excited that this team is playing in New Orleans, the city that they won, their first Super Bowl. Now I'm starting to think if I should wear that shirt. I am going to that game. I'm wondering if I should wear that shirt out there. It'd be interesting. But yeah, give me the Ravens on this one. I'll go 27-24. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast this week. I'm hoping to have someone else on here next week, just to kind of create conversation, debate, and not so you guys just have to hear me talk for 30 minutes straight without hearing another opinion from someone else and whatnot. But thank you guys for taking the time to listen to this, and I'll be signing out. Look forward to being on the podcast again next week. Hey, something I wanted to add here really quickly. I was re-listening to the podcast, and I said that the Ravens were playing in New Orleans, Mercedes-Benz Superdome, where they won their first Super Bowl. That's actually where they won their second Super Bowl. They won their first Super Bowl in Tampa, Florida. The reason why I said their first Super Bowl was because that was the first Super Bowl that I got to witness them win, as I was only a 2 or 3 year old boy when they won their second, or when they won their first Super Bowl. So my apologies for that, and I just wanted to fix that error really quickly.